Please take your training hymnal. We have now come to our catechism lesson. If you'd like to follow along, please turn to page 671. We will be continuing from question 96. Once again, I apologize, 672. Once again, I'll read the question and let the congregation read and answer the unison in unison with me. Question 96 of the Shorter Catechism states, what is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is a sacrament, wherein by giving and receiving bread and wine, according to Christ's appointment, his death is showed forth, and the worthy receivers are, not after a corporal or cardinal manner, but by faith, made partakers of his body and blood, with all his benefits, to their spiritual nourishment, and growth and grace. Our Lord Jesus, in the night when he was betrayed, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood called the Lord's Supper, to be observed in his church, on to the end of the world for the perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of himself and his death. The sealing of all benefits thereof unto true believers, their spiritual nourishment and growth in him, their further engagement into all duties which they owe unto him, and to be a bond and a pledge of their communion with him and with each other as members of his mystical body. This is the excerpt from the first section in chapter 29 concerning the Lord's Supper. I read this to you given the anecdote that was given in the answer itself. And you can see the parallels that are being played here. But there were two points in the answer that the divines give us in the Shorter Catechism that I will take time to address, given my short presentation, that I want to bring to your attention. And mind you, after these two anecdotes, do they kind of fall into play? Where we do notice why and see the understanding of all the benefits, the spiritual nourishment, and the growth in grace that comes with the understanding that is the Lord's Supper. The first anecdote that the two differ on was an understanding of giving and receiving of the bread and the wine, and I bring this clause at a point according to Christ's appointment. Why is this anecdote such a point? It's because question 169 states in the larger catechism, how hath Christ appointed bread and wine to be given and received in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? Why does this question need to be addressed to the church? Because we see in the scriptures early, especially in the Corinthian church, how many of them had abused the practice of the Lord's Supper. Listen now, 1 Corinthians 11:20. Paul writes, therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in your eating, each one takes of his own supper first, and one is hungry, and another one is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which you eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God, and shame of those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. So the understanding here in what's being drawn with the bread and the wine is not something of common use. There is a special understanding that comes with this sacrament and understanding what the sacrament is. There is a particular point that the Messiah is trying to draw. Well, let's look at the answer that the divines have given with this question to see so much the point of why the bread and the wine is not just to be taken at face value. When taking of the Lord's Supper, Christ has appointed ministers of his word in the administration of this sacrament. And like so, by the word of institution, they had received it with thanksgiving and prayer. They are to take and break the bread and to give the wine to worthy receivers, who by same appointment they eat and drink and thankful remembrance that the body of Christ was broken and given, and his blood was shed for them. Mind you, we do have four Gospels that speak of the Messiah, and only three speaks of the Supper in and of itself. John, in his chapter 13, in his section, dealt with the Supper lightly, but also gave to point and gave to the church an understanding at that hour, we knew the heart of Judas was going to be taken by Satan, and he was going to betray the Messiah. But then, to the point here, what was being spoken of the Supper in its detail. The Messiah shows, and it was a concurrent point throughout the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that they all were eating. So then, what makes the difference of that meal? The Messiah and his own appointment took bread. You will see this congruent in all three of those Gospels. But also, what's understanding consistent, he then gave a blessing. For such, he broke it and gave it to them. You will see that all consistent in those three Gospels. For he says, take and eat, this is my body. In Mark, he says, this is my body, which has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. But then likewise, do we see the verbiage that's understood with drinking from the cup of wine? He says, this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins in Matthew. In Mark, he says, this is poured out for many. And in Luke, he explains that this is the cup of the new covenant for which is in my blood. So, having understood the consistency here, do you now understand why the adage that Paul had in the beginning of towards the admonishment he had to the Corinthians, that he did correct them when he states it furthermore in verse 23 of the same chapter? I have received this from the Lord to deliver to you the understanding of what was to be understood of that night. That in the Lord, in the night that the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and again to show the consistency, he gave thanks and broke it and stated, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. But then the likewise, do understand the significance of the cup. And in the same vantage point, he understands, this cup is in the new covenant of my blood. And so often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. So then the adage is understood here. And this one seems to be pretty simple. We don't seem to have too much of a fight, especially in the historical church and coming to now, that there's a certain separation between this and what we consider to be a normal meal. But the second anecdote that I want to bring to you that was brought up on in the answer in our question today also dealt with not after a corporal or cardinal manner, but to receive it by faith. Why is that important? Well, the next question in the larger catechism touches on this. How do they that worthily communicate the Lord's Supper feed upon the blood, the body and the blood of Christ therein? Now, this question is addressing the changes of doctrines that seem to be percolating in the church concerning the substance of the bread and the wine. And of such, we see particular views that are come upon various churches today. Of the Roman Church, they teach of transubstantiation, whereby the bread and the wine is transformed into the physical body and blood of Christ. So much so, they believe that the bread and the wine becomes that very essence, the blood and body of Christ, and that it appears to our own senses that it remains as bread and wine. Even though it may look and taste like bread and wine, according to Rome, it is very essence, the physical body and blood of Christ that was magically, miraculously transformed. The other view, consubstantiation, practiced by Lutherans today. They attempt to explain the nature of the bread and the wine in a metaphysical term by saying the fundamental substance of the body and blood of Christ is presented along the substance of the bread and wine which seems to be present. So in this view, Christ's body and blood exist with and under the simultaneously existing substance of regular bread and wine. Furthermore, such a view, next mimic view, is a memorial view, which then denies completely that there is a bodily presence of the Lord in the Lord's Supper, and it seeks to give some sort of figurative interpretation of the words by institution. This is practiced more by our Baptist brethren. But I tell you, to have such a viewpoint is to not take of the bread and the wine in its proper context. Because, you see, when we do give you the admonishment and the understanding before you come to the Lord's Supper, we want you to have the right frame of mind and set when taken upon it. Most people who take upon it do it unworthily, and we have another question to address that, especially how to come before it, during, and after. But of our question today, the understanding here is to provide the introduction, to give you the solace in your understanding that this particular meal is nothing but a outward element by which God, Christ, more particularly, shows the relations of Him being crucified. And that this, and only the bread and the wine, is by what He used to dictate that. Now, to refute what's been stated earlier on by these particular views, you can be asked questions. Well, what do we actually partake in on the day that we assemble in the Lord? Well, according to John, we are lifted up to Him because He sits at the right hand of God. Mark 16:19. And it's not something to take in light because even unto death, Stephen had even said, as he was gazing to the heavens, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So how can it be so? His body physically resurrected and was lifted up to the right hand of God. How can it be present? Well, this is important because now, if you understand the dynamics of where Christ plays, especially how we assembled here, you can then only understand why the answer continues to state that when we communicate in this sacrament, we feed upon the body and blood of Christ in a spiritual manner. How so? By faith. For where we actually receive, and it is applied to us, Christ crucified, and all the benefits of His death. Romans 8:34. Christ is He who died. Yes, rather who was raised at the right hand of God, He intercedes for you. And again, the understanding, He made purifications of our sins. Once again, it shows that He offered one sacrifice for sins of all time. So then, do we understand in my conclusion why we see the running elements that is the Lord's Supper and its signification? If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. For if you have died and your life is hidden, it is hidden with Christ in God. It is with this I tell you that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we have the ministers come up here and prepare your heart and mind to properly receive it, so that you understand that your faith is continuing to grow in grace. And we are commanded, according to 1 Corinthians 11:26, so much as we often eat and drink of this cup, we proclaim.